Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Should be here any second, brains, my guess. Eileen Dillon. This is Eileen. She's on her way right now. We're going to talk about anger, brains. How people go from a flicker to a flame. It's so annoying, and it's such a distraction. So she's going to talk to us about calming that anger, taming that wild beast. Because, you know, people get exhilarated. Oh, there's a doorbell. There she is. Hold on just a second, brains. Where you at, Eileen? There you are. She's coming, brains. Just give her a minute. Look at her.
Good morning.
Look at you, looking like brand new money.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I worked hard.
That's gorgeous. You are gorgeous. Where are you at in the world, Eileen?
I'm in a little town called Niwot, Colorado.
Niwot, Colorado. Sounds very Native American.
It's, well, I don't know where it could be. It's about 12 miles from Boulder, about 30 miles above Denver. Okay. And I came here 3 years ago, met a couple, made friends with them, spent 3 weeks with them 3 weeks, 3 years ago, and I've come back to visit them again.
Isn't that the beauty in friendship? I love that.
Yeah.
When I could travel, I would make friends with everybody. The bartender and the, you know, the cabin.
Right.
And it's good to know who you're around. Well, I'm so glad that you are around. Brains, this is going to be a good conversation. Dylan is a specialist in anger management. How in the world do we calm that beast? How do we stop going from a flicker to a flame in a matter nanosecond, you know? And then when you get there, pulling yourself back, admitting that you're wrong, accepting responsibility for your actions. Oh, I'm telling you, this conversation is going to be responsibility driven. Thank you so much for being here, Eileen.
My pleasure. So, thank you for having me. That's great.
So tell me all about you. Let them know who you are, the real deal.
Okay. Well, I've been a psychotherapist for 50 years. I'm still working. I'm 78 years old now. And as you know, and I'm also traveling the country, actually North America, in my RV, which I've been doing, except for a year and a half due to COVID. I've been doing it since 2017. And I'm still working with clients. I've published one book during the time I've been traveling.
Hold on. Real still in front of the camera. It's got a little glare to it. To put it to the right a little bit. Pull it back, mama. Pull it back. Pull it back towards you. Pull it back. And then put it more to your right. There you go.
All right. Can you see that?
I can see
the emotions in motion. So I published that. I wrote another book on manipulation. And I've also participated in a series
because it's gold. There you go.
Put out by the Wellness Universe. This one's on happiness. I also did, I have a chapter in three books, and they reached international bestseller status. So I'm now an international best-selling author. Whatever that does for you.
It does. It makes you feel the feels.
Okay. So, you know, life hasn't always been like this, however, you know, really good. The first half of my life, April, was really a mess. I lost my mother. And when I was 2 years old, I was in boarding schools at age 3 and 4. My father was in the military, and we I went to 15 different schools and lived in 12 different homes by the time I was 17. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
And there's more, but we won't go into it. And for many years, I was really upset, you know, how unfairly life had treated me. And of course, in the days I grew up, you weren't supposed, kids especially weren't supposed to say they're angry or get angry, or, you know, they're supposed to be seen, not heard. And only when I had an experience, my husband left me with a 10-month-old child saying he wasn't ready to be a father.
What?
And that made me so angry that all the anger that was inside of me began to spill out. And I got desperate because it was going on my little child, you know. Oh. And so I went out on a hunt to find out. You know, I didn't know the answer to questions like, what causes us to be angry? And why is it so white hot? And what is there anything we can do about it? And can you get rid of it? And I went to, you know, therapists and people who wrote books and libraries of big universities. I looked everywhere and there were no answers to those questions. Because in those days, social scientists didn't see any emotion separate from whatever mental illness it occurred with. So okay. Like anger could be part of schizophrenia, but they didn't know anything about anger. And so I went on my own hunt. And it took me a while, but I began to put things together of what it is that causes anger and why we have it and so forth. And as I did that, I became what I now call, I'm a recovered angry person. Wow. And it took me a few years. And now I'm working to teach the world to recover from anger. And you don't have to be massively angry or an angry person to benefit from dealing with anger.
Right.
You have something you need to do?
No. I'm just, you know, oh, okay. I can not my notes because there's a couple things I don't want to miss a beat, honey. I want to take full on advantage. Anger is, you know, isn't everybody's salad. It's sprinkled and peppered everywhere you go. And learning how to manage that, you've, you know, mastered it. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yes, and you just made a very important distinction that I make, which is management versus mastery. Management takes us to the point where, okay, I get angry this time, I breathe deeply, I meditate, I do something so that I get through this anger that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. Mastery is dealing with anger in such a way that it barely comes up. And when it does, you know how to work with it and you can let it pass through you in a very short time. And that's what I'm after, is mastery. I hate seeing people work so hard, like you were saying at the beginning of the program, the things that we've learned to do. So really, maybe I can go to the cause of anger. We get angry because we have ideas in our head about how things are supposed to be. And if we were correct with those ideas, they would always happen that way, but they don't. And so I call them shoulds. If I think you should listen to me without interrupting and you don't, I'll get angry. If I think you should interrupt me with your question and you don't do that, I'll get angry. And if I think you should not say anything when I'm talking and you do, I'll get angry. Mm. You see how it works? And so what I've finally learned is that every emotion has a message for us, and it helps us to navigate our life. Okay. And so anger is trying to show us where we have incorrect ideas about how the world functions. And it's basically saying, here's an incorrect idea. See, it stimulates you to get angry. How about you change that, and then you don't need to get angry anymore?
I'm moving my head like a puppy dog because my switch is kind of coming on. I never thought of it that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I didn't either. But what it's done for me, you know, as an angry person, I had huge amounts of anger. And now I have about that much. And I can resolve it in minutes.
Well, I can tell you have no anger because you have no wrinkles. You know, the ugly face causes wrinkles.
I didn't smoke either.
Oh, look at that. But you know what? It's loving yourself. It's taking responsibility for your actions. It's, you know, it's kind of really thinking it through. I don't think it's just like a magic wand that, okay, you go from, you know, A to Z, and somewhere in the middle, I don't know. People just go from one low point straight to anger, and it takes them a long time to calm down. It's, what is that? It's not endorphins. What do they call that? Is that endorphins that's firing in your brain? When people get
endorphins
excited,
make you feel endorphins make you feel good.
Okay, well, what
I'm trying
is
to think what yeah.
Serotonin. It's one of those. Come on now, Amy.
Yeah, me too. I'm not thinking of the term either.
It don't matter. It make your brain fire like 4th of July.
Well, but you know, happily, what I have learned is, and I've helped thousands of people over the 50 years I've been working. What I've learned is that it doesn't have to be that way. Anger is energy, right? And it obeys the laws of energy. If you take water and you build a dam across a little creek, right? That water is going to build up behind the dam. Mm-hmm. And let's say it's an earthen dam, that water is going to be constantly looking if there's a flaw in the dam. If there is, it starts working on that flaw, right?
Right.
And eventually it can break through, and depending on how much water has been amassed behind it, it can create devastation, the explosion.
Right.
Same thing happens with anger. We say, oh, I don't want to be angry. I don't feel good that I blew up, so I'm not going to be angry anymore. And what happens when you hold any emotion inside? It grows. It grows just like the water does. And it's, anger is our most active emotion, and it's constantly looking for a way out. So it can come out through our bodies by making us ill, by finding weak points in our bodies. It can come out through our minds, creating problems with how we function in the world. And it can block our success, and it also destroys all the building blocks of self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So it's very powerful. It's the most active emotion.
Wow. So we're talking about emotions, brains, here on The Edge. If you've just tuned in, we are talking to the amazing Eileen Dillon, who is traveling around the world in an RV, or the United States in an RV. And we're talking about anger and anger management. I want to flip the switch on you. You said something earlier. So
okay.
I had to refer back to my notes. Happiness. I have this mm-hmm. perspective on happiness. Happiness is almost like a cocaine high. People are always chasing the happy. What's the next thing that's going to make me happy? Losing 20 pounds, getting a promotion on my job, you know, having the girlfriend gone. What is it that's going to make you happy? People are always looking for that. They don't understand how to plateau and have, you know, just a leveling out. A starting point. It seems, again, like I said, there's no middle ground. People don't learn. You're down here. You know, you're feeling low, or you just like this. Nobody knows how to do this anymore. How do we do that?
Well, because for generations now, we have not known how to work with emotions. Think what happens if I, okay, so I have an experience. I feel angry. I recognize that I feel angry, and I ask myself, what do I think should have happened here or should not have happened? And I work with that and I change it. And also with the experience, I look for what could this be trying to teach me? What could I be trying to teach myself? Now, when I work with those two things and resolve the issue, now the anger is free to move on, all right? And we generally don't move the emotion of, or the energy of anger, we don't move it on. So we're just sitting with it. And what you were describing as happiness, I think, is chasing desire. Mm. And what I learned about desire is that you never can get happy if you're trying to fill your desires, because as soon as you fill your desire, you like it for a short while, and then you have to develop another one. So you're constantly chasing desires. So that's not what brings happiness. In the book on happiness that I wrote a chapter about, I talk about how happiness actually comes from connecting inside of you. I write about the Dalai Lama. Hmm. You know, the Dalai Lama lost his leadership in Tibet's government. He's been exiled from his home his entire life, living in India. And he is the spiritual leader of Tibet, or the Tibetans, but pretty much he's had a miserable life, right? And yet every time you see him, practically, he is smiling. And why does he smile? He says smiling is his avocation. He does it because he knows that wherever he sends his energy, that's where he's going to go, and that's where other people are going to go. When they see him smiling, they can't help smiling, right? Mm-hmm. And in dealing with anger, I no longer have these big highs and lows, but I'm happier than I've ever been because I'm not living on expectation. I'm not living on desire. I've got a pathway open. When you hold on to one emotion, you hold on to all of them. So it's opened me to much more love, which it will do for everybody that wants to become an anger master.
Wow. So this is, do you teach this in an anger management course? This is beyond management. This is a whole shift.
That's why I'm calling it anger mastery and not management.
Right.
Yes, I'm in the process of developing a course. It's called Anger Mastery Lifestyle Accountability Program.
Okay.
I'm learning how to set it up so that.
Give it to me one more time. Go ahead. Give it to me. Read it to
okay,
me.
Okay. Anger Mastery. The Anger Mastery Lifestyle Accountability Program.
Okay.
And I'm learning how to do this course right now, and I'm in process of setting it up. And, you know, I wanted to also tell the people in your tribe that
You got to call them brains. They love that.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. All right. The brains in
your
world.
And you're a brain too. Yeah. And we're in the world together.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's another thing. Collective energy and collective space. You know, there's a lot of women that are coming together tribally. You know, there's a lot of female energy that women are talking about now, digging from the root chakra. I mean, it's just really on fire. You know, with the shift in the age of Aquarius, I'm sure you've seen some amazing things on your travels at night that have just really kind of opened you up in a different kind of way. Give me some of your great experiences on your trips.
Plus all the things that are opening up inside of me. For example, recently, as I've been working on this course, I realized, you know, we're in business, especially people want to reach a state of flow. And I realized that by mastering emotions, most especially anger, because it's our most active one, I'm in an almost constant state of flow. Mm. I'm not afraid to try new things. I travel alone. I don't sit and worry about things. I have these fabulous opportunities. I can't begin to tell you. Like, I'm here staying with some people in Colorado, and I have a Mercedes Sprinter van that my van is built on.
All right.
My husband told me get the best. And if you're traveling by yourself and you're in your 70s, you do not want it to break down all the time. So I needed brake pads.
Are you still married?
No, my husband died 5 years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
I give you my condolences. Yeah, and so you have been traveling by yourself. I know because you were visiting some relatives when I connected with you.
You're right.
You're driving all this way by yourself at 70?
78, yeah. Yeah. I'm in really good shape physically and my energy.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Apparently so. But I mean, I know that you're safe. You drive so many hours. You stop. You explore the land. I'm sure you got some great photographs. Right? You make great friends along the way. You got a gun?
Exactly.
You gotta have a gun.
No.
You travel by yourself. No.
No. Years ago, I realized that what I know about a gun would put me in the position where the bad guy would get the gun from me and kill me with it. So I rely on my ability to work with people. But mostly what I rely on is that in the early 90s, when I was writing a series of books for parents to help them teach their children how to work with emotions, I came across a resource that said, love is love is love. It doesn't matter if you're loving yourself or you're loving somebody, it's the same love. What does matter is that you choose to live by love. And I did that, and my life has transformed. Everybody I meet is fabulous. They want to help me. They offer me things that I can't begin to tell you.
Well, you know what? Wonderful. I love my guests, but we will agree to disagree. Because, honey, if I was traveling alone at 78 looking as scrumptious as you, oh, yeah, I'd have me a 9mm, probably a shotgun, too.
You know, my husband was a neurosurgeon, and he specialized in helping people in putting people back together from gunshot wounds and so forth. And he was himself a crack shot. And two of his colleagues, and he was doing emergency, so he was out at all hours of the day and night. And one night, two of his medical colleagues were killed in the parking lot of the hospital where he worked. And he went and got himself a permit for gun carry, and he carried that gun for the rest of his life. So I've been around guns. They don't bother me. I just know that I'm a terrible shot, and it's just not a good thing to put in my hand.
And it's not that we want to do that. I'm just talking about, okay, well, then if you don't want a gun, get a Rottweiler to ride with you.
I have an 8-pound dog.
Oh, wow.
I also have some bug spray. I do have some okay, to defend myself with.
But you're defending yourself, you know, with love. And I really, I appreciate your perspective. I really do, because anger is an emotion. And if we know how to, again, manage them, then hopefully one day we can master it with great people like you. And Eileen, I thank you so much for taking time out to pull over. And you're looking okay. Like you're in the lap of luxury right there. Your friend's house is to the nine.
It's not my friend's house. This is my van. I'm in my van.
Shut the front door. That is your van?
Yeah. See, there's the driver's seat. And
what?
There's my whole van right there. See that?
Is that one of those Mercedes-Benz vans?
Yes, it is.
And so you had it custom and all tricked out, right? Like a little mini house?
No, I bought it used. I'm the third owner. It's just there's some people in Canada that make them as pretty as this, which buy the best. So I do, April, can I invite people to contact me for a free 30-minute consultation about anger?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I have to catch you on the road. You have to pull over. Go ahead. Please tell me how to get in contact with you, Eileen.
Yeah, so my website is emotionalmasteryforlife.com. And then I have an appointment service with Calendly. So that's Calendly. I send it to you, and you were going to put it in the notes too. Dylan One. Dash Dylan One. But at any rate, I'm happy to talk with anybody about what role emotions, particularly anger, play in your life, and give you some suggestions of how you can get some immediate relief, and maybe share with you about this course I'm making also, if you're interested.
Well, Brains, how could you not be interested in some anger management? Come on now, really,
I think
everybody's mad about something.
Or we encounter it with other people. I think now you're talking about the big changes we're going through. The big changes have to do with us recognizing our energy nature, right? And emotions are nothing but energy, and we've had them messed up for years. But it's time for us to get that emotional energy straight inside of ourselves. And what benefits? I'm now enjoying the benefits, and I can't begin to tell you my life is so full, so wonderful. I'm living longer. My health is good. You know, I meet people and have amazing experiences.
How do you maintain this? I mean, you know, are you going a little psychotherapy? You know, do you go into deep meditation? How do you sustain something like this? You know, you can't coach forever.
How do I sustain it?
Well, no.
I don't.
Me, okay, I would say me as a potential client that will work with you.
Oh,
what tools would you give me to sustain this anger and this practice and this philosophy?
That's the beauty of it. You don't have to work to sustain it. You don't have to do all the efforting that we usually do around emotions. What you do is you understand how the system works. Let's say you have an experience that you feel angry and you say, what do I think should have happened here or should not have happened? Now you know what's caused your anger. Now you have a choice. Do I want to keep believing this or would I like to do something different? For example, most people get angry about drivers cutting in front of them on the freeway, right? And so we think that drivers should not cut in front of us. Well, I've asked lots of people, and some people say even 100% of drivers do that, but certainly 35, 50% of drivers can be expected to do that. And yet we're still using our energy to get upset about people doing something we think they shouldn't do that they do 50% of the time, right?
Let me tell you my story about that. So I'm in China and we have a private driver and, you know, people are blowing the horn, but when they blow the horn at you, they wave a nice gesture. They don't give you the finger. They're not trying to cuss you out and all this kind of stuff. And I asked our driver, I said, what is the culture around that? I've been observing that, you know, you're not hitting their duck. You're not running over their bicycle because, you know, there's people everywhere in China. And he said, we acknowledge the fact that we have avoided a conflict. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. So, and what do you think they put the horn in the car for? You know, someone might be distracted. Someone might be sick.
Okay.
You know, it's congested. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So what if you now say, okay, 50% of all drivers are going to cut in front of me. Next time a driver cuts in front of you, what do you say? Oh, you're one of the 50%. Once you're doing that, you're not getting angry anymore. As I was talking with my friend that I'm staying with here in Colorado, and he was telling me about some anger that he felt, and he realized that not only would he have that driver cut in front of him, which would be the thing that was hurtful to my friend, but also as my friend stayed angry, that driver actually was getting him twice, right?
Right.
We're giving our personal energy to other people who are going to be doing what they're doing anyway, and using up our own energy on useless things. And that's, once you get that message and you know that that's what's happening, then you can decide. Like I had somebody steal my wallet.
Oh, no. Okay, let me ask you this before you tell me the wallet story. Do you have the right to still be angry? Once you get to this place, you've done this work, you've got this acceptance, it's going to creep up.
You always have the right to be who you are. I mean, nobody says you have to not feel angry. It's not for other people that I choose to feel less angry. It's for me. You know, you get angry, you get upset, you fume for days, maybe you get depressed, and you have words with the other person.
Yeah, you cry.
You cry. You have to work things out with the person you dump your anger on. It's a lot of energy that you use when you get angry.
It's
a lot of work. So this is so much less work. I see I got angry. What am I angry about? You know, what did I think should happen? Do I want to change that? I don't have to change it. But if I do, then I'll stop feeling so angry.
So let me tell you, neurolinguistic, and you're using some NLP definitely in, you know, the work that you do. Am I correct?
Some. I haven't really studied it a lot. Eileen Dillon's homegrown. I like to do things at work, and I've been helping people for 50 years.
Wow.
So that's my driving motive.
It's a lot of common sense wisdom, which is really
exactly
good. And
exactly,
you know, common sense isn't very common anymore. So thank you for sharing your perspective on happiness and anger and your philosophy and the great work that you do. I adore you. I envy you. And when we end this conversation here, stay online because I want to talk to you about that RV. I might have to get one of them with Mr. Magnificent and we get to rolling because that's nice.
All right.
But Grace, you are nice too, and you are here on the edge, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And we have Eileen Dillick. Go get your anger meter checked, Brains. Bye-bye, baby.
Bye.